Stop looking at me like that.
11:58, Show and Vern, the best hour of Show and Vern. I am Ron, the show Hughley. That is Joshua Lamont Vernier. And Dimples, he's single lady. Steve Serta is...
he's not ready for a relationship.
...producing though. This bad boy. He's single, though. Action is allowed with Big Steve. Steve's more than tired today, baby.
You mean mailing it in again?
Huh?
No, I was thinking Steve's horny. Steve's got on his horny shirt today. I know that shirt.
Let me see.
It's just a 96.5 The Bus shirt.
Yeah, but it's special. I checked the tag, and I know you have a red mark in it. That means it's his horny shirt.
That sounds true.
It is.
Just made that up right now.
Did not. Coming up here at 12:15, your guy, former All-Pro safety who Vern believes should be. Do you think he should be in the Hall?
I do.
Should be in the Hall. Leroy Butler, former Packer, will join us here in about 15 minutes or so. I would be lying if I could not understand, from the discussion we just had about the Titans and the Ravens, I'd be lying if I didn't understand why people aren't concerned. Because the last, I don't want to say month, it looks like football is coming back to what we were more accustomed to. Mm-hmm. But you could almost even be duped into thinking it's even, as Therese would say, 1993 football.
Glory days.
Where you're running the football and you're playing defense and you're hitting. Now, it ain't there. But we've seen this. Defense has been more prevalent in the league, and not even just the great defenses. I mean, we're seeing like Tampa hold down the Saints for a lot less than what they normally are. I still, however, Vern, don't think we're all the way there. I think we're not at the offensive peak of where we thought, like, hey, man, it don't matter what the weather is or anything. I think we're always where we were, and that is when you have the quarterback, and when you have the quarterback advantage, I still think that that will determine the winner. Like, I think if you have the quarterback advantage, I still think we're still in the date of Brady, Manning, Breeze, Roethlisberger. And that's why I do have confidence in the Chiefs, because I think in most of their games they will have the quarterback advantage. Now, I don't think these games are going to be 40, whatever the Chiefs and Patriots was, 43-40. I don't think they're going to be doing things like that anymore. But I do still think we're still in the age of, all right, the quarterback is the most important position, and that's where you look at. I still think it'll be very, very, very difficult for teams to get to the Super Bowl without well above average quarterback.
Yeah, it just feels like the NFL peaked that Monday night in that Rams-Chiefs game. I feel like I should apologize to people, because so early on in the season, I was dismissive of your belief that the Chiefs were a Super Bowl-caliber ball club. I dismissed it because with that defense, you don't win Super Bowls with that porous of a defense. And now you throw on top the fact that they no longer have an above-average running game like they did when they had Kareem Hunt. Something has to explain what we've seen the past few weeks. The nosedive of Jared Goff, the nosedive of Drew Brees, Tom Brady looking anything but like the greatest of all time. I shouldn't have been duped into believing that January football had changed, or even that the... Look, do you need a good quarterback to win in the regular season? Yeah, you do. But man, I just go back to last year and you look at that Final Four. Run game defense of Jacksonville offset Blake Bortles. Run game defense of the Minnesota Vikings offset Case Keenum. Run game defense offensive line of the Philadelphia Eagles offset Nick Foles. Three of the Final Four teams had average to below average quarterbacks last season.
Which was an anomaly.
Okay.
And I would also argue that those quarterbacks played above their heads.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned Peyton Manning. He won two Super Bowls. One was on the back of an all-time defense in Denver, and the other, that rain game down in Miami, Dominic Rhodes and Jay Adai. That's not his name. Who cares? Adai and Rhodes.
Adai. Go ahead.
Joseph Adai. Yeah. Those two guys, those were the reasons why they were able to beat the Bears in that game. The Super Bowl that they lost to the Saints, run game of the Saints, defense of the Saints is the reason why they were able to knock off Peyton Manning.
And Drew Brees.
Okay, Tracy Porter's pick ended up putting that game away.
It gave it, but Drew Brees, like with the examples you're giving, Manning led those teams, especially the Super Bowl winning team with the Colts. Led them in January, led them in the playoffs. They beat the Patriots in the AFC Championship game because of him. They were down in the game by almost 20. It was him who brought them back. Brees who led them. So I'm not saying that you don't need those things.
I think there were a lot of people like me that were duped into believing that the football that we grew up knowing and loving that was centered in January around a strong defense and a solid running game, I was duped into believing that had changed. I've been reminded the past few weeks that that still wins. That still wins come January, and that still
it could
should
win it.
Scare all Chiefs fans.
It could win a game, but more times than not, it's the quarterback that makes the difference.
Well, the Chiefs may have the best quarterback, but the worst defense in the AFC. And that great quarterback doesn't offset that awful defense. Now, that awful defense will be your demise.
But if he's playing against other great quarterbacks, yes, then it does. But if he's playing against Phillip Rivers, who's also a great quarterback, or against Brady, who is also a great quarterback, or against Roethlisberger, who has also been a great quarterback, and against Watson, who is not great, but a really, really good quarterback, yes.
I don't look at it as a quarterback v. quarterback thing. All those guys you just mentioned, fantastic quarterbacks, without question. But their defense is supreme, and their running game is supreme, and I think that will be the edge. That is what will give them the victory come January. Pat, again, would have to be perfect. Like I've said for most of the season, and I can't believe I deviated from it, Pat has to be perfect to offset that brutal defense, and now even more so when you don't have that horse wearing the 27 in the backfield.
Yeah, I'm with you. Defense and running games are important, but the quarterback is far more important than anything else. Pat, that's the only position where you could just win it yourself, and we've seen that happen.
Pete Sweeney already in the building getting ready for Arrowhead Pride Radio, 6 o'clock. Pete Sweeney, Sean Barber. Pete's got a little foot-long sub in there that he is enjoying right now and eating it very slowly. But he'll be coming your way at 6 o'clock tonight. Arrowhead Pride Radio on your football station, 610 Sports Radio. He starts at 6. We'll be, unfortunately, still together at 6 o'clock tonight.
Why'd you say unfortunately?
Because yesterday you weren't at the Therese Paylor show.
Which was hard for me.
Prior obligations, so I was able to avoid the 11 hours with Ron the Show Hughley today. I will not be as fortunate. We have our show meeting with Triple H tonight.
As soon as this is over, I'm just not going to talk to you until 6 o'clock. And I may not talk to you then, but I will be talking in that meeting.
Oh, please, God, no.
I'm going to leave and come back.
Anyone that has office meetings, you know that guy that just has to have his voice heard, even though what he's saying really has no substance and adds nothing to the meeting?
Leave Bob out of this. Listen. I think it shows leadership. And obviously, I'm a leader of this show, the clear one. And I'm going to make my voice heard. This is a big meeting.
What are you going to say?
This is the first one with Triple H.
Do I need to be loud in this one? Or should I be quiet?
No! You don't need to say anything. Just keep your mouth shut and keep kissing up to Triple H.
Yeah, do it. You're going to, I mean, we
just do it
to
Dwight Schrute.
You're going to be on his side the entire way. I'm just saying, hey, we got some issues and some points. I'm going to throw it out there. If
like
I disagree
what?
With something, I'm throwing it out there. Yeah,
it's his first meeting. Let this be about him. Don't make it
sure,
about you.
It'll be about him, but I'm sure he's going to open up the floor to us. You know I'm going to be angry in there because I got, of course, pizza coming in, and I can't eat it.
Scrape the toppings off.
No, that's disrespectful.
Don't be a martyr about it.
That's disrespectful. See, you don't want anything to happen in these meetings.
I want to get out. Yes. It's a very long day at work with you.
This is an important meeting.
Oh, yeah,
this
why?
This is important.
Why?
Because this is the first impression and the first step to let him know, hey, man, this is where we are.
So I should really come out swinging.
Oh, God, guys, we want to stay under the radar. Our ratings do not say, hey, have people focus on you. Have your boss really zero in on the job you're doing.
I perform terrifically under pressure. And I'll drag you there, too. I saw you in 14 and 15.
Grind it.
You performed great under pressure, too.
There was no pressure.
Lots of it.
It was a call-in show. It's very easy to do.
Lots of it. Don't push yourself down
hey,
like
let's
that.
Let's go to Big T and Shawnee.
Right? Don't push
yourself
stay up all night.
Don't push yourself down on that. You won an award.
That's right.
Sir, to know you don't have to come out swinging. So you're going to be just sitting there like, shut up.
Yes.
I feel like that's what he does in every meeting.
I'm going to sit into a place and not so you can't look at me.
Good. You think I want
to look? No, because I feel like you're going to try to make. I feel like you're going to try to make eye contact with me to try to get me to shut up.
So in high school, when class was over.
I always spoke afterward.
One more question, Mrs. Daly. I was curious whether or not the homework is.
What are you talking about?
Just let it die tonight, all right? Just let the meeting happen. Let us all eat our pizza and then go home to our families.
Oh, I'm going to let the meeting happen. But, see,
I'm going to videotape
we would get nowhere.
And let people see. I will videotape it.
There's
following
the yin
me
and
on
the yang. We would
follow
get,
me on Twitter.
This is the yin and
continue
the yang.
Continue following
this
me on Twitter.
This is the yin and the yang. We would get nowhere if we just all laid down like you did.
Is there a cap on how much pizza I can eat at this thing?
No.
If we just
you know CDOT's going in.
If we just laid down like you would want us to, we'd get nothing.
Does that make me look different in the eyes of the boss if I just crush pizza and don't talk?
Just don't make like a sandwich out of it.
Have
don't
you decided what you're doing in St. Louis?
No. We have a meeting on Thursday. We're going to talk about it.
Oh, my God.
I got a meeting with him tomorrow.
Are you going to be taking the minutes at this meeting today?
Present.
I was going to say, do you know what taking the minutes mean? Don't answer that.
No.
Oh, you didn't? Damn. Former All-Pro safety. Stop showing me your nipples. Leroy, please stop showing me your nipples. Leroy Butler.
Look at them.
Show and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending at kclend.com.
Welcome back into Show and Vern from the text line here from the 913. The problem with this show is show. He thinks he's the leader. Put Vern on by himself and keep Steve. Then the show may be successful.
No, you'll get that Thursday and it won't be that good.
My favorite here. Don't listen to Ron. Back in high school, he was the most loud and constantly messing with people in our tech math class.
What? I'm surprised that doesn't happen more.
I was in a tech math class.
Like, that's one reason I was always glad I've
left your town?
Yeah.
That people would text in?
Right. Reach out and try to embarrass me. What kind of tech? Math tech?
I don't know.
Good for you. Look at those classes.
No.
Wow.
No. Never was my thing. Tech math. I really don't even know what he's talking about. I feel like that's Mr. Minor Shagan's class.
He didn't mess around.
No, he didn't. He did not mess around. Good guy, though. Good heart.
Hey, can I make a quick shout-out real quick?
Oh, hell.
Just want to shout-out Cheryl, one of Vern's ferns. She had knee surgery, so she's laid up right now listening to Show and Vern.
Played hurt. There you go, Cheryl.
Keep grinding, Cheryl. Or as Show, do you have a message for her?
Did I sing a song? Or?
I thought you'd say keep fighting, but
it was going to end with keep fighting. It was going to be a verse that went into keep fighting. Remember, Vern, 12:45, the return of three strikes. Vern is
ready for that.
You are. Vern is going to do three strikes on questions for the show. So 913-576-7610, you better get ready and keyed up.
It's not surprising.
What's not surprising?
That Roy's not answering.
We'll get him, though, right?
Oh, who knows?
What are your thoughts? Because I don't know. I got to talk to him about some stuff. I really do, and I've never met him. And I kind of want to see the relationship you two guys have. Mm-hmm. I'm itching to see that. But he is in that that Packer area, and the people that Rodgers and Favre are most compared to Pat Mahomes, and I see real similarities in their organization as I do in the Chiefs, and I'm really nervous. There's a part of me that's nervous that we might see the same thing from the Chiefs that we do with the Packers.
Well, I just remember a conversation that we had very early on in the season, and you were talking about your curiosity as to what Patrick Mahomes was going to be like once he finds his voice, right? When it's no longer, aw shucks, I can't believe I'm doing all of this at such a high level. Once he finds his voice, man, I've been nervous of that because I've seen it change so many athletes in my 20, 30 years in this business. Aaron, Brett, a number of baseball players where it's very aw shucks early on. You get money, notoriety, fame, and love, endless love. It's hard not to change any man, any woman. I don't know if Patrick's going to be able to avoid it.
All right, we got him here, Leroy Butler, former All-Pro safety, and Vern has convinced me that you should be in the Hall of Fame, and now that I look at your numbers, I really did know. You have a real Neil Smith feel to me. I cannot believe that either one of you, Neil's not even considered, and you kind of got that feel to me. But I wanted to talk to you because, man, Mahomes, the two people that he's most compared with are Favre and Rodgers, both in skill and the crazy things that they could do. And I think we all kind of understand the positives of those two players. But what, to kind of maybe set the stage, and maybe this could be something we could see with Mahomes, what are some of the negative things about those two players that maybe have created them not to be as successful as maybe they could have been?
Well, I think for Brett, I think, you know, obviously taking more chances as far as interceptions is concerned. But when I played with him, I encouraged him to play the way he wants to play. I'm a defensive player. It's my job to go out there and get it back. So you just play the way you play. Because I think early on the interception did bother Brett. But Brett gave more 50-50 opportunities to his receivers probably than anybody that ever played in the game. And see, that's the thing about Aaron. Aaron is not throwing a lot of those 50-50 balls here of late because he doesn't want to turn the ball over. So as a defensive player, you can appreciate that as well. But with Patrick, it just seemed like he knows when to do the 50-50 balls, and he knows when to go through his progression, and he knows when to take off. I think that gets lost a lot of people. You got to move in that pocket sometimes. I think for the most part, he has an offense that, you know, if he ever wants to get bailed out, you can always go to a tight end. You know, Travis Kelce is one of the best tight ends in the world. And if you think about that, that's what Tremura was to Brett Favre. I need a bailout. You go to your tight end. And I think that's the reason why sometimes the positives and the negatives, they both seem to work.
Leroy, teammates and fans alike early on in Brett's career were just so happy to have an above-average quarterback that gave him a chance to win a Super Bowl. Same thing with Aaron Rodgers early on in his career. That's how it is right now with Patrick Mahomes. The fan base and the organization is just so happy to finally have a franchise quarterback. The thing that worries me is when you are this happy, when you are this grateful, you tend to enable the player to get away with on the field, off the field, in the locker room a little bit more than you would an average player. Is there advice that you would give Chiefs fans or the Chiefs organization as to keeping Patrick grounded as all of this fame and attention starts to fall on him?
I think all the Chiefs have to do is show them how all the disappointment as far as all the playoff losses and the good teams they've had in the past, and it looked perfect, but for some reason they came up short. You don't want to be a part of that. If you continue to study, because Andy Reid will keep his head on straight, but Eric Bieniemy will make sure he makes the proper throws. But it's going to be, you're right, Josh, it's going to come down to him. How does he embrace when he starts next year, when they'll be asking him to go to all the award shows? And how does he, when he'll be on the front of cover of magazines, and he'll finish probably one or two in the MVP voting? You know, do you change a lot? You know, if you can stay the same person, I just tell the fans to embrace him. Support everything he does. If a player sees he got that kind of support, I think it keeps him grounded. I think if they stay on social media a lot, it'll make them more defensive. So I would say, you know, as a young player, you know, get grounded first, then let, you know, the social media stuff work.
Leroy Butler, former all-pro safety, played for the Packers for a long time. This is the thing that really scares me more about the future with this organization is, I'd look at Pat and I kind of see him on the field as comparative to Favre and Rodgers, but I think off the field he seems to be have his head together more. Like even at 23, seems to be more further along upstairs and off the field than even those guys were. But the biggest concern from afar is how the Packers organization has handled having Aaron Rodgers and what they've done around him and some of the decisions they've made. What's been kind of the downfall, or how do people look at how the Packers have handled having a elite quarterback and what they've put around him?
If you think about the millennials in Green Bay or in Wisconsin, they only saw two quarterbacks, so they're very spoiled. And you had to be lucky to even get Aaron Rodgers. The Packers took him number 24 overall. He was supposed to go number one. So he was humbled that day. Now, the thing about it is when you're so lucky and now there's a transition. Where's the transition? The transition from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers, and the other transition was Alex Smith to Patrick Mahomes. Now, how smooth does that go? For the Green Bay Packers, it really divided people. The Brett Favre fans were fighting with the Aaron Rodgers fans. I mean, I don't know if Patrick had to go through that.
No.
Alex went to Washington, and that's a plus. He had to deal with that because Aaron had to deal with so much negativity when they gave him the keys to the franchise. It just felt like he couldn't do no right. But when he won a Super Bowl, see, that's what Patrick Mahomes got to do. If he get this team to the AFC Championship game and be favored to go to the Super Bowl, you'll see a lot of people get on board. They'll take the white gloves off and say, we got us a star now, and we need to embrace him.
All right, I do want to get you out on this. You play the position, and this Chiefs defense is awful. You don't have to sugarcoat it. They're awful. You played the position. Eric Berry, we saw a half of him. He made the defense look completely different. I've always wondered how much an impact the safety has, and if you watch this defense, is Eric Berry's impact great enough to get this defense to be able to complement this offense to get to a Super Bowl?
Eric Berry is the Reggie White of their defense. Well, the few games Reggie didn't play, we were not very good. When he did play, we were number one. Because, you know, you elevate guys' games when you're on the field. Guys, people, they look at you like, oh, wait a minute, oh, he's getting dressed. Oh, I can elevate my game. Something that little for a young guy, you know, to just ratchet his game up. So you need a guy like that, especially if he's been out for so long and had to go through so much to even still be in this game. He's just an inspiration. And having your leaders back, especially this time of year, he's coming back at the right time. He can get these young guys together and say, this is how we're going to reassess going in. Because ultimately, can you beat New England? That's what it really comes down to. And they proved that when they played them earlier. They can beat New England. But they can't give up 40-something points. And I think Eric Berry will help them understand how to pick your game up when you get into the playoffs.
Leroy Butler, always great.
Thanks a lot, man.
Yeah, I appreciate you. We'd have to do this again. Thanks for stepping on with us.
Anytime. Take care of my boy Josh. Now, that's my guy. Take care. Please take care.
Oh, I do. We always take care of him. We will.
All right, take care, guys.
Thanks, man.
All right, that was That was it. Even outside of here, it's about can you beat the Patriots? Yep. Yeah, can you beat the Patriots? All right, coming up, this can get real interesting in about 2 minutes. Real interesting.
Show and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending at kclend.com.
Remember, coming up next segment, Three Strikes returns.
I have no questions.
Josh Vernier, and he will not
let
you down.
We have nothing to give away.
We don't have anything to give away, but you get to know that you are the first one to win the return of Three Strikes. Serta's ready for it, and Vern, you better be.
I'm not.
I'm just saying, and I'm telling you, Vern, listen, brother. And I said, brother, like 80s wrestler. Listen, brother.
Oh, when, man, you are a fool.
When Leroy told me to take care of you, I took that to heart. I meant that.
You didn't say anything. What do you mean you meant that?
I felt like I said it when he said it. He meant it, and I'm meaning it. And I will take that.
What are you talking about?
I will take that.
It's just the worst thing he could have said. It's the worst thing he could have said.
It's like Leroy felt it and knew the leader. Who the leader? I can't even get that one out. I tried. I could not get that one out. Damn it, I'm disappointed about that.
Dive into those numbers. Leroy needs someone fighting for him to get into Canton.
Yeah.
That safety position is not given enough respect.
No, it didn't. But I will take care of you. All right, you expressed this. I don't even know how we got on this.
You have to start it, because if I just come out and say it, that is not the way we want to go
about
it.
So I was watching, and this is me getting after it. I was watching Black-ish last night. Watched a rerun of it.
Great show.
All right, I missed it last week. It'll be on again tonight. And they they started talking about all these black movies. And then they were going through trying to figure out if this is a black movie or not a black movie.
Like they agreed that Django Unchained is not.
Yes.
Quentin Tarantino.
And then, they said a few things, but.
Color Purple, yes.
I don't think Color Purple was.
It was. It was in there.
It was in there. I don't think they counted it as one. Oh, Steve Spielberg on the ones and twos on that one.
Amistad, yes.
Amistad was a
That's
yes.
That's Steven Spielberg.
They said Ali.
No.
And you said no.
No.
And you said no because it's Will Smith.
That's Will Smith,
That's
man.
Not
That's
fair.
Not Muhammad Ali.
I know it
Listen,
was Will Smith. Will Smith
Ali's
is eligible.
Movie. All right, you did a good job. Now I can say it.
Will Smith is eligible of being could be a part of a black movie.
Ali and 42 are movies to explain Muhammad Ali and Jackie Robinson to white people.
All right. I agree with you on 42. Ali, the only reason I won't go there is just ridiculous what you're doing to Will Smith. The only reason why I won't go there with Ali is because his family was involved with it. His family was involved with helping telling some of the stories. So I don't think 42, that was a hell of a point.
42, how involved were they? Because that has a little certitude to it.
Up yours. His wife. Now, Muhammad wasn't speaking very much then, but his wife was involved in it. Yes. The family was involved. Tatiana and what's the boxer's name? What's his daughter?
Layla.
Yeah, they were involved in it heavily. Heavily may be a stretch, but they were involved in it.
I really feel like you're.
I'm not making that up. I've watched several docs on it.
Okay.
42, I get with you. 42, you're spot on with that. That is.
So
a
when
movie.
You watched Ali, you saw Muhammad Ali. You didn't just see a yoked up Will Smith.
I'm not saying that he was good in it. I'm not, but you're disqualifying it because you're saying, is it because
if you want to learn about Muhammad Ali, there's.
That is, wow. I mean.
I believe there's enough documentaries where if you want to learn.
Vern is not calling Will an Uncle Tom. I don't know.
Oh, my God.
No, I don't think he's doing that. I just don't know why you're disqualifying it as saying that Will is like. I don't understand, because that was the first thing you said. Will Smith, hell no.
Because that's all I saw. I didn't see Muhammad Ali.
Because he didn't morph
Ali.
Himself into him.
Is you're going to see an iRobot Will Smith.
Now, come on. That was not the same person.
Wild Wild West Will Smith.
Now, you will take that back. That was not Wild Wild West, Will Smith, and that.
Maybe it's because I'm a sports fan. But Muhammad Ali is in such rarefied air that if you're going to try and portray Muhammad Ali.
That guy looked just like Sonny Liston.
You have to not only look and sound just like Muhammad Ali. I can't say, hey, it's a fresh breath.
He sounded kind of like him. He spent a
year. He sounded like Will Smith doing an impression of Muhammad Ali.
I don't think he did.
Watch When We Were Kings. Watch other documentaries that are involved in Muhammad Ali's life.
I'm trying to think. What about Remember the Titans? Did he play the role? You don't even know what Herman Boone sounds like. That's not a good one.
I know what Herman Boone. Oh, the real Herman. Oh, no, I have no idea.
So Ray. Ray, does that count?
Now, what Jamie was able to do. I saw Ray Charles. I didn't see Jamie Foxx. That was amazing. And the voice, yeah, stop. Don't even put those two in the same category.
So yes,
that's ridiculous.
So yeah, but it's still a black movie. It's about, I mean, it's not just for black people to
so
watch.
So when you sat down with Ali, you were going, oh, wow. Oh, that's new. He was friends with Malcolm X. Hey, hey, Henry, did you hear? Did you know? Stop.
Who's Henry?
I wasn't talking about Henry. It seems very much like an old husband and wife went and learned a lot of new things about Muhammad Ali, white people.
Yeah, but just because I didn't learn new things doesn't mean that that movie was just made for white people to learn about Ali. I agree with you with 42.
It was like they rounded the edges quite a bit. They really didn't show you how difficult it was for Muhammad Ali. Same thing
or
with
how many
Jackie
other
Robinson.
Women he slept with. Yeah, I agree with you on 42. But to me, that's hard to say when Ali's family was involved in it.
I didn't say it was a bad movie. Oh, I'm not going to sit here and put down Muhammad Ali's family if that's what you're trying to,
I'm not trying to
milk me into doing. I will not do that. But to me, when I watched Ali, I turned it, when I was done, I was just like, that's not you didn't tell me anything new. It was a very
so for it to be
weak biography so, for people that apparently have no idea anything Muhammad Ali ever did.
So for
and this,
it to be
you know what this it's me being a lifelong nerdy sports fan where I sat down at the theater hoping
to learn something new.
Yes.
And that's what constituted being a movie that just wasn't for
that yeah.
White viewers
for
to
white
learn
people.
Something new.
Right, right. Someone that had no idea or very young African-Americans, I guess, could learn
so
as
well.
So when
you sat down and watched Malcolm X, you learned a whole lot.
Me? Yes.
Tomorrow, and they say, we want you to fight Joe Frazier, Madison Square Garden, millions and millions of dollars.
I hear
Here's
Muhammad.
Your license back. I will tell them I will never fight again.
I hear Cassius Clay.
Do you?
Play it again. Try it again, Bird.
Man, if they came to me tomorrow and they said, we want you to fight Joe Frazier, Madison Square Garden, millions and millions of dollars, here's your license back, I will tell them I will never fight again.
You heard
now,
Muhammad?
Do you have any sound from Will at Fresh Brit? Can we compare those
Don't
sounds?
Don't be throwing all that at Steve.
Can we compare? Can you find a sound of Will from Fresh Brit? From the 913, why are we letting Vern, the whitest guy at 6'10", to define what and what is not a black movie? First off, Vern is not the whitest guy at 6'10".
Thanks, man.
Come on now. Now that is, now if you've listened to, now come on now. Who you think be putting together those make Mahomes' voice sound sexy again?
Who is the whitest person at 6'10"?
Coming up next. Who is the whitest person at 6'10"? And we compare Fresh Prince to...
It's a three-horse race, I think, for whitest person at 6'10".
We compare Fresh Prince to Muhammad Ali and see if we can hear Muhammad or if it's just Will Smith through both. Remember, three strikes coming up.
I have nothing.
Show and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending at kclend.com.
All right, here we go. We got two things coming in strong. Protein House, Eat With A Purpose text line. Should we go with the return of three strikes? Or what we, as someone texted in earlier, from the 913, why are we letting Vern, the whitest guy at 6'10", to define what is and what is not a black movie? Okay, come on now, slow down. Vern, by far, is not the anywhere close to the whitest. And then, of course, someone who, listen, we'll either turn you or you're just going to have to get it at some point. From the 913, why are you saying the whitest person at 6'10 like it's a bad thing? That sounds pretty racist to me. What if I were to say who is the blackest person at 6'10"? Start your vote there as well. See how many loaded up with the blackest person.
I vote
person
for Witkowski.
You got Ryan in that one? See, I think you.
I appreciate that.
See, Carrington went to private school, and I went to Blue Springs. Mm-hmm. Let's kick this thing off with three strikes because we're getting so many coming in.
We don't even have a contestant. Nobody even wants to play.
Oh, yeah. 913-576-7610. You better get in here and call right now. Who is going to be the first person? There's not a prize to win. You just get to win. I did it. I won the first three strikes. 913-576-7610. You don't have anyone on the horn either, Serta.
So now this music's just going to play.
Going to play right here. Just let it play.
Like Spectre's right. Still in the conversation.
Oh, yeah, he was one of the top three for me.
Heisler's in the Hall of Fame. Heisler's like the Ty Cobb
Heisler,
of 6'10".
Yeah, first batter.
Heisler, I don't know, man.
He's like the Honus Wagner of 6'10".
I don't know, man. Heisler's got, in the music range, got a little soul to him.
He can sing, you mean? Big
that,
deal.
That morning show, boy, they've got a few candidates. Too strong.
Yeah, I don't.
All right, Jeff and Casey, you're first. All right, here we go. This is three strikes. You're going to have to answer questions.
From Vern.
I am ready to go. From Vern. And from Vern, questions about the show. If you don't get them all right, Philip in Richmond, you're next. Let's go, Jeff. You ready, Jeff?
I think so.
All right, Jeff, name three weekly guests. On Show and Vern.
We have that many.
I don't know.
Hey.
Come on, bud.
Strike one.
Did he say strike one?
He said strike one.
Yeah.
Philip, better get ready.
I guess I didn't prepare very well for this.
Strike two. Come on. Read the question again. Maybe that might help.
Name three weekly guests that we have here on Show and Vern. Come on, bud. Pulling for you.
You do.
Dead
Yost. Steve. You gotta be kidding me. All right, listen.
You wanted to do this.
Well, yes. Come on. This is ridiculous. Three guests? You guys can't think of one?
Can you?
Yes.
Half the time, I forget to put them on the board in the morning.
I feel like you should have just put up two.
That's not how the game works. It's three. Called three strikes.
You're right.
Good God.
You're right. I'm sorry. All right, here we go. Philip in Richmond.
Good All right, Philip, you ready?
Yeah.
Batter up.
Question number one. Name the three on-air gentlemen on Show and Vern.
Ron the Show Hughley, Steve Spector, and Josh Bernier.
Oh, track one.
Come on. You got two right, one wrong. You're one away from moving on to the second question. Ron the Show Hughley is correct. Joshua Vernier is correct. One strike against you.
Dustin Price.
Strike two!
Who? Dustin Dice? No.
This is me!
Philip. Do you know the name of that guy right over there?
Spectre, right?
Strike three!
I feel like a lot of people think I'm Spectre.
Really?
That's what you want.
I feel like that's common.
Is that tough?
This is your leadership.
I feel like it's a lot of people think I'm Spectre.
Oh, my God. All right, Mike in Olathe, please run this home. Somebody get past one question.
All right, Mike in Olathe, here we go.
Batter up.
This is great.
Mike, name three locations that we have broadcast Show and Vern from.
The Well,
Track one.
I mean, we were there that
we
one
were
time.
There for Pat Needs Pat rally, but we did not broadcast there. One strike against you. Come on now.
The streetcar.
Okay, that's correct. Yeah, nice job. Hey! One down, two to go. Yeah, two one more. Strike against you. What are you going to do with this next one, there, Mike?
Gosh, I don't even know.
Missing an obvious one here.
I just got to take the strike. I have no idea.
Strike two.
All right, down to the count, one and two. That's all right. Got plenty of time to battle back. What are we going to do now, Mike? Come on, bud.
We got to do this every day.
One other place that we have broadcast the show from. Damn it, Mike.
Strike three. You're out.
The studio. Say the studio.
I won't quit. I'm sorry. I don't give a damn. This is the greatest thing I've ever seen. Brad and Cameron, step up.
No, it's Brad.
That's what I said. Brad and Cameron. Go ahead, step up.
Brad and right. Cameron, are you ready?
I think so.
All right. Name three nicknames that Ron the Show Hughley has come up with for members of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Come up with it.
Nicknames for the Kansas City Chiefs, courtesy of Ron the Show Hughley. Go ahead.
Oh, I thought you were going to ask me about Tenderfoot.
That's one. That's one.
That's one.
That's one nickname.
Nice
How many?
Job.
You got two more nicknames that I've come up with.
Skandrick.
Come on. You got this.
I know what it is.
It's two of them.
Yeah, there are two different nicknames. You could close it out right here with this. Orlando Skandrick.
Yes, what is he calling?
What does he call him? That's a good question.
Three.
Dang it. I know what it is. I just can't think of it.
Obviously, no.
Track one!
He would have said it by now, but... Come on now.
I don't even know three.
Come on, Brad. How do you not know?
It is really harder once you get on the air.
I've always said it.
Strike two.
You're gone. Why not?
You don't even give him three strikes.
Let's go.
Did he hit
three?
I'm sorry. Bill in Blue Springs.
You got it right.
All right, last one. Bill in Blue Springs right now. Let's go. Bill in Blue Springs.
All right, Bill. Here we go.
Batter up.
Name the three favorite athletes of Ron the Show Hughley, his medal stand trio.
Oh, that's
trio.
Hard. Come on, that's got to be the last one.
I'm not prepared.
Oh,
I have questions.
Give me that one.
Just name three things you like about the show.
You guys are great. You talk about the Chiefs, and you guys have broadcasted from
Bill.
Hey,
Bill. Bill, God, we are in the tank. Bill was coming up with three things. He struggled on his own.
I think we should do one more.
Brad Fanning's definitely
I
in the conversation
Hold on.
For
Derek,
one of his member of
Derek
610.
In Blue Springs. Batter up, damn it. Can you name three nicknames that I've come up with players for the Chiefs?
Tenderfoot, Lando, and I'm having a brain fart.
Come on.
Tenderfoot, Lando.
Kendall Fuller. Kendall Fuller.
Reggie.
Reggie Raglan, yeah.
I know he calls him a fat ass, but no. I can't think of the third one.
We're never getting out of
here. We're never going to get out of here. Derek, God, I felt it, Derek. You're
Lando, Tenderfoot. I can't think of Fuller.
It's like you're going to the refrigerator and thinking there's going to be something new when you open it up.
Scrap heap.
He can't give it.
Slots
to
open.
Him. Slots open.
Nasty heavy, ass Reggie Ragland.
Heavy K. Come on, guys. We're better than this.
No, we're not. We're 15th. The ratings
Clean
say
Dan.
We are not better. Clean Dan.
Clean Dan is that just started. We've got to do this every day. This is the greatest thing we've ever done. The power of the Royals. I'm convinced.
Full phone lines.
I'm convinced
playing for nothing.
It was you.
They got nothing. They got nothing to win.
Nothing to win. Oh, my God. Nasty ass Reggie.
I think Fanning. Fanning might be the whitest.
All right. We've got to figure this out. Oh, yeah. We do have to figure out.
And the blackest.
The whitest at 6'10 and the blackest at 6'10. Just like that time when they thought, oh, you would only come up with white girl names. We know LaCoyas. LaKoya?
Coming up.
Oh, I'm sorry, LaKoya. I don't mean to laugh at your name.
The whitest and the blackest here at 610 Sports.
Show and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending at kclend.com.